listening to Get Sports Radio. Episode number 40, Reasons for Fantasy Thanks. And thank you for tuning in. If you're just now finding us, this is the first time you landed on the podcast. Well, welcome in. Hope you enjoy it. For all my regulars out there as well, always glad to have you back. It is the 40th episode, a special Thanksgiving week edition of the Get Sports Info podcast. And we're going to break down everything you need to win in week 12 here, including looking at some injury report news. Tons of stuff to talk about there. We got some quarterback changes to discuss as well. We're going to hit the waiver wire, see what's still out there as we get ready for that playoff run. And as always, I do it every week here on the podcast. Players I like less, players I like more. We'll look at how I stack up with some of the guys at different positions, better and worse than some of the other experts that put their rankings at Fantasy Pros. It's the expert consensus there. We'll look at the report. And, you know, we're also going to get into the theme of the week here, Thanksgiving. I don't know about you. My favorite holiday, hands down, all my favorite things, family, friends, food, football, fantasy, you name it. It's all there and plenty of fun, a lot of F's for you. But at the end of the day, I will say this. I mean, you don't have all the stuff hanging over you like Christmas, the financial pressures. There's not any Christian backdrop to this one. So you get everybody of all these different faiths. I mean, everybody can reflect on what they're thankful for. Now, we don't need to get political here and the pilgrims and the Indians or anything like that. This is not the forum for that. But I will say, outside of my birthday, Thanksgiving's the favorite day of the year for me, and looking forward to it again this year. And I've got my DFS lineups loaded up with some of those slates. I'll be doing a Turkey Day fantasy draft, a little six-man draft as well. And if you're going to have a party, you're having a bunch of people at your house, let's turn some fantasy games there and things like that. But before we get into all the Thanksgiving stuff and all the other good analysis I hope to leave you with on this episode, let's do some news and notes, just clean up some homework here, if you will. Things we got to tell you about, announcements, let's call it that. First of all, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and as well as Google Play. You definitely can find it anytime. GetSportsInfo.com, that's our blog. The site's been around 15 years. The GSI cheat sheet, fantasy rankings for free. James Rapine handling that, as well as the studs and duds. I got the office pool picks. You can go up there now and read about the 7 most annoying people at Thanksgiving dinner. How many of them are you having dinner with? You got to check out that classic, but good stuff here year-round. And of course, the podcast, the exclusive home of the podcast. And I love it. I'll be doing it year-round. Now, we are doing a little bit of a program change here. I've been cranking these things out twice a week, pretty much since Labor Day week. And now here we are at Thanksgiving. Things are dying down a little bit. You know, the casual fantasy players falling off. The team's falling out of it. Waiver wire is getting thin. I was doing a Monday night recap / waiver wire report, my Friday fantasy happy hour. The good thing about the fantasy happy hour, a lot of that content's going to slide here. I'm going to meet the two podcasts in the middle. We'll be doing them on Wednesday nights now, all the way through the Super Bowl. And then from there, you know, we'll pop in and, you know, develop an off-season schedule. But still a lot of great stuff. The Friday podcast was really informative. I'm looking to really move a lot of that up 2 days, give a longer shelf life. And I'm always open for some feedback. If you're listening, you like the podcast, you got some ideas, email me, getsportsinfo@gmail.com. You can always hit me up on Twitter @DanClaskins. I'd really appreciate reviews, especially on iTunes and Stitcher as well. But let's get into some of the other stuff here. The quarterback changes, a couple of those. We got some injuries to talk about. And we'll start with the disaster that was Nate Peterman last week. I mean, oh my goodness. It looked like a deer in headlights out there. And just another reminder that preseason means very little. This was the real thing. Five picks. Today it became official. Sean McDermott coming back out. He naming Tyrod Taylor his starter for this week's action. Of course, you know, they're slated to go into Kansas City, Arrowhead Stadium. Never an easy place to play, and it won't be again this week. But Taylor is a guy that I wrote about. I write at Pro Football Focus twice a week. You can get articles. Mine are usually free there on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And I wrote about it in a recent article. He was a guy that just a few weeks ago I was in telling people to buy high on. Now, granted, watching the tape, you want to go look at the film on the guy. I mean, you get why Buffalo is not necessarily sold long term on him. This coaching staff not tied to him. But from a fantasy perspective, his floor that he delivers with his ability to run the football, and now with the weapons around him there, a shoddy defense, a lot of garbage time production, this guy, if he could keep this job, I still believe he can be a top 10 fantasy quarterback this season, and a guy that more often than not will deliver at least some double-digit points and some safety for owners that roll him out there. Now, the other quarterback change that's going on right now, and that's the Denver Broncos, who just fired Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator, after their sixth straight loss. And Vance Joseph announcing now that Paxton Lynch, he'll start Week 12 against the Raiders. It was reported just a day earlier that this would be the decision. So this is not a surprise. Today it was made official. So, I mean, this team has looked rough all season. Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, they definitely were terrible. So what do you have to lose here? That you're talking about a guy now in Lynch that's been around for a while. You got to get a look at him. But the fact that he hasn't been able to get it going, and I know he's battled some injury this year, tells me that, hey, this is a team that, yeah, what do they got to lose here? If Lynch isn't starting at this point, I mean, I have very little faith in Lynch. I will say this, the matchup against the Raiders, pretty good. You're talking about a secondary there. They've set an NFL record going 10 games in a row without an interception to start a season. Unbelievable. They got totally lit up again last week. So I'm not totally fading Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders off my radar this week. Let's not just jump to that just yet, but we will see. It's going to be interesting. Let's run through some of the injuries, some of the things you're talking about. Sterling Shepard, he's still listed as questionable for the Thursday night football, Thanksgiving night matchup against the Redskins. This game, of course, is an 8:30 kickoff, and he missed last week with migraines, and I had to adjust most of my daily lineups. I had Shepard everywhere, it seemed, but he didn't get in. Missed out on a good matchup there with, obviously, the Giants had a great matchup with the Chiefs, and now they get another good matchup here against the Redskins. Not terrible, but I think that Shepard is a guy that I'm definitely buying in on if he can get healthy. But now a week and a half with a migraine issue, this to me sounds a little fishy. Sounds like we don't know all the information. Chris Hogan, shoulder, still sidelined at Wednesday's practice for the Patriots. He hasn't practiced since getting hurt in Week 8. And you know what? It's starting to look a little dicey here, too. We know the Patriots are very tight-lipped on injuries, and we don't have a lot of info here on Hogan, but he's not getting any closer to return from until I see him on the field. And at this point, you know, I don't know how you could be counting on him. I would, if I'm sitting on him, I might even shop him around to see if I can get an owner to bite to give me a healthy player. I do like the schedule down the stretch for the Patriots. In case you missed it, they have an amazing schedule for their next five games. Now through Week 16, they got the Bills twice and the Dolphins twice. One game at Pittsburgh, but I love the schedule. But you know, Hogan, I just don't think he's going to be healthy. And so far, that's the case again this week. William Fuller, not a lot of news there on the Texans wideout. Still dealing with the ribs issue. Monday night game against the Ravens, and his status definitely in doubt. We'll need to track that one all the way through the weekend. Jordan Reed, he's already been ruled out. That hamstring issue, surprise, surprise. Fire up Vern Davis against a Giants team that gets just manhandled by tight ends. They did again last week by Travis Kelce. Vern Davis, a guy that will do it again here. Greg Olsen, tight end coming back from injury here. He's eligible to return off the IR, expected to do so with that foot injury. He's immediately inserted into my top 10. and have no problem starting him this week. Jacoby Brissett, he's still in concussion protocol with the Colts quarterback, as is Jay Cutler of the Dolphins. Both these guys pretty dicey to play. Brissett, if he sits, it'll be Scott Tolzien. Meanwhile, Jay Cutler, it would be replaced by Matt Moore. And if Matt Moore's in there, mental note here to yourself, Matt Moore's in there, Kenny Stills available in your league, pick him up and start him. And if you got Stills on your bench, if Moore starts, he is a must play. The stats are unbelievable with that he's had with Moore. I mean, he really escalates into a top 25 potential wide receiver if that happens this week. Matt Forte, still not a lot of news there. He's missed multiple weeks. The 32-year-old running back for the Jets. Expect Bilal Powell once again to share the workload a little bit there with Elijah McGuire. It's been about a 50-50 split. That's what we saw last time out. They're coming out of the bye here, so the fact that Forte is still not practicing tells me this isn't good. You guys want to hit the waiver wire? Definitely like to do it. I will start giving out my waiver wire recommendations for the rest of the season on Twitter, at Dan Klaskin, just a few guys there. And, of course, you can subscribe to my email coach service for just a couple bucks a week and get guaranteed advice on any of your fantasy questions. But moving the podcast back from Monday to Wednesday, I know some of you have already hit the waiver wire, but for the purpose of this discussion, you know, we're just going to look at it, try to find the guys that we can help you with and advise. And it's that part of the season where, you know, it's not a big thing. We talked about Tyrod Taylor. If he was dropped in your league, he's the one quarterback of interest of mine. Now that buys are over, I just can't get into some of those lower level guys that we've talked about. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, he's going to get the start this week. The total on its high, a lot of garbage time production. I think at the running back position, Samaje Perine, if he somehow did not get picked up last week after Rob Kelly was put on IR, now that Thompson's out for the season as well, this guy is in for a hefty workload. I definitely think he could be an RB1 play as starting this week against the Giants, and I'll be keeping my eyes on him. I definitely think another player to keep your eyes on at the position is the Elijah McGuire guy we just talked about. I mean, with Forte coming down, I mean, Powell's up there, the Jets pretty much playing for nothing. They're giving McGuire more and more looks, and you know, he's out there in a lot of leagues. I think Austin Eckler continues to remain a nice handcuff option, but at this point, maybe even a flex play, definitely a bench stash. If Melvin Gordon goes down for the Chargers, he becomes very relative. And then I think, you know, if you start getting into deeper situations, you could look at you know, some different things there. But James Conner, obviously, Le'Veon Bell, we know if you own him, now's the time to get with the buys out of the way. This is the time you want to scoop up Conner. I also think you could say the same about, Charcandrick West, if you own Kareem Hunt. J.D. McKissic, with Procise out for the season, he's still dangling out there. I'll roll the dice on him. And in deeper formats, Byron Marshall, a guy to keep your eyes on. He's definitely back on that fantasy radar with only P. Ryan left standing in that backfield. At the receiver position, Corey Coleman should have been scooped up. Jamison Crowder, Josh Doctson, these are guys that, if they're somehow still available in your leagues, they're elite options. I talked about Kenny Stills, if Matt Moore starts especially. I think Zay Jones, a guy I'm really high on with Buffalo. I wrote about him earlier this week in my article at Pro Football Focus, but really ascending here down the stretch. And with Taylor coming back, I think the sky could be the limit for Mr. Jones. Tight end, Greg Olsen probably got scooped up. You're still looking or hurting for something there. I mean, I don't really have a lot. I mean, most of the guys, you know, they're probably gone by now, let's be honest. So, Charles Clay, if he's still sitting out there, Tyrod Taylor coming back certainly helps him. And, the DFS streamers, looking for some streamers for this week for just season-long. The Bengals always up among my options. And I think you got to give a hard look at the Raiders, as bad as they've been. They are going against Paxton Lynch, and we saw what last week's young quarterback happened with the Chargers. Now, this defense isn't anywhere near as good, but playing at home, not a bad stab, especially in a GPP or something like that, or a deeper league where you're really scrambling for that option at a low, low price. Let's wrap up the podcast today. We'll do it like I'd like to do all my weekly preview podcasts, and that is with players I like more, some I like less, than the expert consensus at fantasypros.com. And after the dog, just a terrible outing, disappointment, by the Kansas City Chiefs, including quarterback Alex Smith. I'm firing him up this week. I love the matchup there. They're going to have – they're never turning home. I always enjoy going with the team at Arrowhead because it's one of the best home field advantages in football. But coming off that week, a lot of people will be avoiding them. They get Buffalo this week, and Buffalo's been lit up by like a Christmas tree of late. So I think Isaiah Crowell is a running back I like more. I got Alex Smith, by the way, QB6. That's two spots ahead of the experts. I've got Isaiah Crowell seven spots ahead of the expert consensus in my PPR ranks. He's currently sitting at my RB26, and brutal effort last week against the Jaguars. You got to wipe that one off, sort of go back to the drawing board. He is facing a Bengals team. I mean, they've been decent, but 5.39 yards per carry in his career against them. And, you know, just looking back at the two games Crowell had last year, 10 carries, 113 yards there in December back in Cleveland, and in October of last year in a game in Cincinnati, 12 carries, 63 yards, a touchdown. I definitely see him having those numbers, and if not better, in this game. Will he get to 100 yards? I don't know. But I think he's a nice high-end RB3 flex play if you need him, even in PPR leagues. And I feel the same way about Marshawn Lynch. I got him eight spots higher than the expert consensus, RB28. And Lynch has actually been doing pretty good. The problem is the Raiders have game flow has kept him from being involved. They haven't been able to give him the number of carries, but he's been efficient with his numbers. And I know on the surface, Denver looks like a stellar defense, but over their last five games, they've given up the ninth most fantasy points to running backs. And I mean, I'm looking at a team here that they seem to be going in the wrong direction, obviously, with this losing streak and everything else on the table there. Four rushing touchdowns, 456 yards over the last five games, another four receiving touchdowns. So I think Lynch has an opportunity to surprise in week number 12. I'm going to go with a couple receivers on guys I like more. Wide receiver 11 on my board is Golden Tate. That's two spots ahead of Fantasy Pros expert number. And we're two spots ahead of the ECR as well with Davante Adams at wide receiver 20. Tate, I think in this matchup, is going to bounce back from another one of these recency bias opportunities here, because I think he's going to bounce back nicely, get a lot of underneath stuff. I think the Vikings are going to look to take Marvin Jones out and you know, make them beat them with that running game and those short underneath passes. And I like Tate here, especially in PPR leagues. I like Davante Adams. He's clearly Brett Hundley's guy. Pittsburgh, a tough pass defense. They're going to put the pressure on the kid, but I expect the Steelers' offense to put points on the board. Hundley's going to be chucking the rock, and when he does, he likes to look for Mr. Adams. Players I like less, we'll start with Jared Goff. He was my dud call of the week last week across a lot of platforms, and I got him QB13. Don't hate the guy, but now the bye weeks are over, it's harder to get him in on a weekly basis as a QB1. We've seen inconsistency with his numbers. The Saints D, I mean, I've been trying to, you know, not believe in them, but I'll tell you what, I think they can do it. I got Goff at number 13, so he's going to get the nod in some cases, but that's still two spots lower than other experts. I'm really low on Joe Mixon this week, five spots down from the ECR. He's my RB24. That means chances are you're still starting this guy, but man, it's week 10. Dalvin Cook's been hurt for almost 2 months, and Joe Mixon finally surpassed him in fantasy points this week. And it's not necessarily a knock directly on Mixon. Yeah, I mean, he's been disappointing at times with his performance, but the Bengals' line's been terrible. The Bengals' coaching is terrible. The Bengals in general have been terrible, at least in their usage of Joe Mixon, and that's really having me sliding him down the board until I see differently. I don't like Adrian Peterson this week at all. I got him 10 spots lower than the experts at Fantasy Pros. RB37 in PPR, so I'm not even endorsing him as a flex. Jacksonville's coming to town, and I don't know. Blaine Gabbert, yeah, it's his old team, but I'll tell you what, I think this Jags defense is going to feast, and even if he gets the volume, I don't expect it to lead to much. Adrian Peterson's on my bench in the few leagues where I have him. My wide receiver 12 of the week in PPR is DeAndre Hopkins, which is still pretty good, but they're going into Baltimore on a Monday night against a Ravens defense that just keeps getting better, really strong on the edge and on the perimeter with their defensive backs. Nice rotation they have going in there. I think they're going to take Hopkins out of this game mostly. I mean, wide receiver 12, people. I mean, I'm still saying he's a low-end wide receiver 1 here, but not a guy I'm paying up for in DFS at all, and I'm certainly tempering my expectations. Devontae Parker, Wide receiver 40 on my board. That's four spots lower than the expert consensus at Fantasy Pros. And you know what? I'm just sort of done with him. I mean, we haven't really seen that ceiling that I've been looking for. I actually just traded Parker away in one of the two leagues where I had him in my Dynasty League. And he was riding my bench. I'm loaded in that league at receiver, but traded him away. And I felt good when I did so because my eyes have told me that he's going to be something special, but I've yet to really see it in the box scores. And, you know, the hype's been there from the beginning, and he's shown flashes of potential, but injuries have been a consistent factor. They were again earlier this season when he dealt with that ankle issue. His targets are as consistent as any receiver in the game. He's been targeted eight or more times in all but one game, and he's only reached 10 targets in a contest once, though. So he's right in that 8 to 10 range almost every game. And the problem is, really, he's not just doing much with him. I mean, right? Just one game with over 80 yards receiving to his credit. He scored once all season. I think the loss of Ryan Tannehill had a bigger blow on Parker than we gave him credit for. I'm not selling on him and writing him off completely long-term, but I pretty much am for 2017. So whatever you do, don't write me off. Stay with me. I'll be here all season long, all the way through the Super Bowl now on Wednesdays with my weekly podcast, all off season long with all the news and talk and discussion. We'll be getting a lot of my fantasy friends back in here as things slow down a little bit and really just spending time with you. Like I said, if you have some feedback, some questions for me, not fantasy questions, but just want to talk about the podcast or learn more, email me, getsportsinfo@gmail.com. Dan Klaskins on Twitter, and to subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud, getsportsinfo.com, your home for it anytime. I'll be back next Wednesday as we close out the regular season. We're wrapping up regular season fantasy next week, getting you ready for the playoffs, all those secret tips you need to win in that final week to get in or maybe even secure a better spot. We'll do that and much more next time around right here with Dan Klaskins on the Get Sports Info Podcast. Get Sports.